2,000 years ago, an extraordinary man who shook up the world and has continued to shake us up ever since, met his death on the cross by the order of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. We'll never know all that's true and how much is fiction in the synoptic Gospels that we call the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, they ain't necessarily so. These familiar Gospels tell us so much of Jesus' extraordinary, compassionate caring. Has he healed so many yearning for new life, both women and men? They tell us something of the three women who stood beneath the cross and watched him die, and how Mary Magdalene came to his tomb after the Sabbath and found no corpse, but instead the resurrected teacher. But Mary Magdalene is given no place at all as a disciple of Jesus, a peer among the men who carried his message forward upon the earth. We now know that basic truth was intentionally tossed away within three centuries after his death. We know this because 50 ancient texts were discovered in 1945 and have been studied by overjoyed scholars ever since. And the ones that give me special joy are the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Philip, and the Dialogue of the Savior. Well, it seems the right month of the year, 2021, as we celebrate Women's History Month, to open our ears and open our eyes to the truth about the most important woman in the adult life of Jesus, Mary Magdalene. It seems the right day, Palm Sunday, and the first day of Passover, to open our ears and open our eyes to the deepest messages of Jesus that can change our hearts and that beseech us to change our world. In the Gospel of Philip, we find these compelling words. He wrote, "There were three Marys who walked with the Lord at all times, his mother and his sister and the Magdalene, who is called his companion." So his mother and sister and companion are called Mary. That wisdom, which is called barren in the mother of many angels, and the companion of the Savior is Mary Magdalene. The Lord loved Mary more than other disciples and kissed her often on her mouth. The rest of them saw him loving Mary and said to him, "Why do you love her more than us?" The Savior replied, "Why do I not love you as I do her? When a blind man and one who can see are both in the dark, they're the same as one another. When the light comes, then he who sees will behold the light, and he who's blind will remain in darkness." Again, in the dialogues of the Savior, often it's Mary who offers vibrant questions. She says, excuse me, she says to Jesus, "I want to understand all things just as they are. Tell me, Master, why have I come to this place? To gain or to lose? The Master replied, you show the abundance of the one who reveals. Mary asked him, Master, then is there a place that's abandoned or without truth? The Master said, the place where I am not. Mary said, Master, you are awesome and marvelous and like a devouring fire to those who do not know you. The Gospel of Mary Magdalene further deepens the account of her profound bond to their teacher. Upon the death of Jesus, and this is from the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the disciples were in sorrow, shedding many tears, and saying, how are we to go among the unbelievers and announce the gospel of the kingdom of the Son of Man? They did not spare his life, so why should they spare ours? Then Mary arose and embraced them all and began to speak to her brothers. Do not remain in sorrow and doubt, for his grace will guide you and comfort you. Instead, let us praise his greatness, for he has prepared us for this. He is calling upon us to become fully human. Thus, Mary turned their hearts toward the good, and they began to discuss the meaning of the teacher's words. But this gospel, finally unearthed in the 20th century, also reveals the rivalry and hostility between Mary as a woman and her fellow disciples. Deep, deep tensions that existed then and are with us even now in the 21st century. And this is again from Mary Magdalene's gospel. Then Andrew began to speak and said to his brothers, tell me, what do you think of these things she's been telling us? As for me, I do not believe the teacher would speak like this. These ideas are too different from those we have known. And Peter added, how is it possible that the teacher talked in this manner with a woman about the secrets of which we ourselves are ignorant? Must we change our customs and listen to this woman? Did he really choose her and prefer her to us? Then Mary wept and answered him, my brother Peter, what can you be thinking? Do you believe this is just my own imagination, that I invented this vision? Or do you believe that I would lie about our teacher? At this, Levi spoke up. Peter, you have always been hot-tempered, and now we see you repudiating a woman just as our adversaries do. Yet if the teacher held her worthy, who are you to reject her? Surely the teacher knew her very well, for he loved her more than us. Well, these vivid interchanges tell us what the Gospels of the New Testament have been hiding for more than 2,000 years. Mary Magdalene was not just a woman with some affinity with Jesus, and not a prostitute, but a disciple. Not simply a disciple, but the foremost follower of Jesus, and the one he considered most wise. And these ancient sources make clear that his male disciples were envious of her powerful status and disgruntled because they knew that she spoke as a woman who understood everything. This from their Gospels. To understand the debasement of Mary Magdalene, we can look back at the Old Testament and later the penetration into Judaism of Greek culture during the lifetime of Jesus. In the oldest account of the rise of Yahweh as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, his worshipers cast out God's female consort, Asherah, with bitterness. God's wife had to flee into the forest to live on as the trees of this earth. And the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, well, that gives us, as the first woman, just a naughty girl who found out about sex and got pregnant as her punishment. The blessing of sexuality, how our human race multiplied and came to rule over the earth, finds no place in Genesis. As the old joke goes, Mother Mary, who conceived without sinning, teach us to sin without conceiving. So Jesus and his disciples grew up in the culture of the Hebrew religion that left women as the second sex. The devaluation of women, accepted and extolled throughout Christianity, has permeated our culture to this day. That culture surrounded me a good many years ago as I was growing up as a girl in a Jewish family, but later found my faith in the Unitarian Church. However, when both my parents died, I felt a longing to return to Judaism once more. In that hope, I finally attended a Sabbath service in the 1960s. All the recitations now were in English rather than Hebrew, like in the old days, and I could hear and understand all the words at last. At one point, all the men got up and recited, "I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not made me a woman." They sat down, and then all of us women stood up and recited, "I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given me life." When the service ended, I left and never looked back. Well, that was half a century ago. Today, when I approach the hundreds of ways the lives of women today are impacted by a culture that often endorses disrespect, I feel like a mosquito who shows up at a nudist club picnic. The only question is, how many issues to touch upon? Well, let's turn to the question of what religions in our day do offer equality to women. What religious faiths open their doors to leadership to women as ordained ministers or priests or rabbis? Hallelujah, the Unitarian Universalists, along with the Methodists, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, and the Buddhists, all allow the ordination of women. Some Baptists, but not the Southern Baptist Convention, ordain women. Reformed and conservative Jews, but not Orthodox Jews, allow women to become rabbis. Liberal Lutherans, but not the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, allow the ordination of women, but no Mormons, no Muslims, and no Roman Catholics ordain women to lead their congregations. Perhaps this divide between faiths is the paradigm for so many aspects of setting women as the second sex. Well, the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution has still not been ratified. I'll pass over the wage gap. It's old news that women earn 70 cents for every dollar paid to men. Better today, women earn 82 cents for every dollar. I'll leave aside the challenges women face in the military. Women once were barred from active military service. Today, they represent 16% of the armed forces, but face many issues around pregnancy. It was against US law for women to file patents until the late 19th century. You know, we remember the name of Singer, who invented the first domestic sewing machine, but we don't remember Sarah Boone, one of the first African-American women to be given a patent for her invention of the padded, collapsible ironing board. We remember the name of Dr. Ben Carson, who separated conjoined twins. But we don't recall Dr. Patricia Bath, the ophthalmologist who invented laser cataract surgery, the first African-American woman to receive a patent for a medical purpose. Ah, sports. The news this month shines the light on the inferior treatment of women's basketball teams. Appalling differences in the meals, fitness facilities, and even coronavirus testing. And when a men's team wins a single tournament game, the team will get a payout of $2 million from the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA. While a woman's team that wins an entire championship will not get a cent. Is change on the horizon? Yes, hope springs eternal. For the first time in American history, a woman's been elected president of the United States. Sorry, quite nice verbal error. She's been elected vice president of the United States. Five women have been nominated to the president's cabinet of 15. Just three women served in the cabinet as the last presidency ended. Medicine has changed. Once women were barred from medical schools, and then back in the 1960s, just 6% of medical students were women. And that number rose to 49% in 2004, reached 52% in 2020. So gender equality in medicine has risen, but women still lack support as both women physicians and mothers. Well, today, as we celebrate the Passover and Palm Sunday, and Women's History Month, let us bless the light of truth that shines around us. Let us pray that we and all people open our eyes to the light and open our ears to the words of truth. Let us take up the call to bring about the changes that affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Let us carry in our hearts the words of Mary Magdalene in her grief upon the death of Jesus. She said, "He is calling upon us to become fully human. May it be so.